final in 25 years. In the NBA, the Indiana Pacers are signing Larry Nance Jr. to a one-year, $4 million contract. No games at the World Cup today. The quarterfinals kick off tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern from Foxborough between France and Morocco.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife has awarded California Farm Bureau $1.1 million to administer payments to ranchers who've lost livestock due to wolf attacks. California Farm Bureau will administer the program to ensure ranchers can be compensated for their loss. Now, with 12 PACs throughout the state, California livestock producers have experienced 26 livestock deaths in the first 3 months of 2026, this after 196 confirmed attacks last year. Well, USDA announced a new initiative providing up to $500 million to help small and mid-sized beef processors remain competitive as historically tight cattle supplies continue. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said the new Strengthening Processing for U.S. Ranchers program will provide temporary payments to eligible U.S.-owned processors to help offset rising cattle acquisition costs and encourage continuing slaughter capacity. The nation's four largest processors are not eligible for the program. Well, the National Corn Growers Association released a new strategy outlining how the U.S. corn industry can rebuild demand, emphasizing the need for new domestic and international markets. The report calls for expanding traditional uses of corn while investing in emerging markets like sustainable aviation fuel, marine biofuels, and other bio-based products. NCGA says rising yields and added productivity gains require new sources of demand to support profitability.
You work hard raising America's beef. Now get rewarded with Superior Livestock. Market your cattle to the nation's largest buyer base by consigning to Superior's Video Royale video auction July 27th through the 31st in Winnemucca, Nevada, and live online. They come to your ranch, showcase your cattle nationwide, and deliver true price discovery through competitive bidding. Call 800-422-2117 or visit SuperiorLivestock.com. But hurry, the consignment deadline for Video Royale is July 10th.
The best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they're, well, farming. It's easy to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of their pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. So reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what's important to their farm operation. Give us a call and we'll connect you with our local farming community. They trust us, so they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are falling in afternoon trading with the Dow sharply lower as the ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran unravels, reviving investors' fears. As a result, oil prices are jumping and driving inflation worries. West Texas Intermediate crude is nearing $76 a barrel, the highest level in 3 weeks. Higher oil prices complicate the Fed's path. And speaking of the Fed, this afternoon, the minutes from Kevin Warsh's first Federal Reserve policy meeting were released and were only modestly shorter than average. They also revealed policymakers remain divided over the path of interest rates. And shares of Broadcom are surging over 4% after Apple announced plans to spend upwards of $30 billion on U.S.-made chips from the chipmaker. The agreement will enable Broadcom to expand and modernize its manufacturing facilities in Fort Collins, Colorado. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you. Would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
How far do we go in our effort to change this land from a melting pot into an all-nation smorgasbord? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
From the very first, this nation has been made up of a collection of minorities forming a majority we call Americans. We hyphenated ourselves, yes, to explain the origin of family, calling ourselves German-American, Irish-American, Italian-American, whatever. And as first-generation Americans, the success of the melting pot became evident as more and more of us began describing our heritage as French and Dutch, or Irish, Scotch and English, Austrian and Italian. You name the mix, we had them all. Our ancestry traces to every corner of the world, but with one common characteristic which makes us Americans. Those forefathers of ours, and yes, today's modern immigrants, had and have an extra love of liberty and an extra ounce of courage which made it possible for them to tear up roots and journey to a faraway land in search of more personal freedom and better opportunities for themselves and their children. Yes, we keep our pride of origin, perpetuate the memory of ancestral song and custom, dress up in ethnic costume for certain ceremonial days. We also carry the stars and stripes and sing the Star-Spangled Banner on those occasions. Of late, however, and possibly for political purposes, we seem bent on doing away with the melting pot, recreating strict ethnic divisions. A few weeks back, I commented on bilingual education and its failure to do anything toward improving the ability of students speaking a foreign tongue to master English. The other day, a typical American drove me to the airport in a town where I'd been speaking. He decried our law, which requires the printing of our ballots in two languages. Then he told me how he had come to this country from Italy when he was 10 years old. Like millions before and since, he learned English without the help of special programs, and he said at home in the evenings he and his brothers and sisters would help their parents learn English. He's still a fairly young man and as American as baseball. A California news item the other day reported on the cost of printing ballots in two languages and the waste because hundreds of thousands of them were thrown away as uncalled for at the polling places in our neighborhoods. Now from the National Review Bulletin, I glean the following item. The federal government has ordered three counties of North Carolina to print ballots in the language of the Lumbee Indians. There's a problem. There is no Lumbee language. There was once, but when white settlers moved into the area, the Indians abandoned it in favor of English. County officials are considering asking for a federal grant to invent a Lumbee language and teach it to the Lumbees so they can carry out the law requiring dual language ballots. Washington isn't doing well in English these days. Here's an HEW working paper. In terms of heads who worked as one would expect, the proportion of heads who worked is greater for total poor heads compared to poor heads eligible for welfare, greater still for non-poor heads eligible for welfare. Unquote. Try that in Lumbee. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Thank you. KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today I have Shannon Kessler on. Shannon Kessler is running for State Assembly District 30 against Don Addis. She made it to the November election. Congratulations.
Thank you, Karen.
So now it's a lot of hard work until November.
Yes, it's been hard work from the start, but I've enjoyed it because I love getting to know people. And recently, the 250th anniversary has been a joy to participate in so many of those patriotic events.
And so it's the two of you going into the election. How far apart were you in the final state tally?
I received 34.9% of the vote, which is very strong for a first-time runner. And there was another Democrat in the race, Susanna Brown. She received about 9% in the entire district. So between us, we gave Don a really good challenge.
So what did Don get, about 51?
Yeah, 50, you know, somewhere. It depended on where you were, but, you know, between 51 and 54, depending on where you were.
So no, I mean statewide. I'm talking statewide.
Oh, yeah, in the entire assembly, yeah. So she, I'm figuring that if I can get most of those disillusioned Democrats and independents and libertarians and we get really good turnout, I can match Dawn. So I really think that I can give her a strong challenge, especially if she continues with her current behavior that's anti-family, anti-business, anti-girls, anti-women. Shall I go on?
And one of the things we're going to talk about after the 1 o'clock hour, or at the 1 o'clock hour, is we're going to be talking about a recent bill that Don Addis put together that she then approved changes. And there is a major uproar throughout the state regarding this bill. But we'll talk about that after the top of the hour. This first part, we are going to be talking about the victory that happened in the Senate, the U.S. Supreme Court. They delivered a landmark ruling. They upheld laws that protect women and girls' sports. Tell us a little bit about this. You've worked on this for years, and tell us what happened and how you think things are moving forward.
Yeah, that's right. I founded Save Girls Sports Central Coast more than a year ago, a year and 5 months ago. That was back in March of 2025. And even before that, I've been advocating for girls sports at school districts and at CIF. And I've tried to contact Don Addis about this as a constituent of hers. And she refused to meet with me or with the girls affected or their family members. So this Supreme Court decision decided last week on the last day of the Supreme Court's session. They upheld Title IX as originally written. It was written as an amendment to protect girls in 1972. So it said that on the basis of sex, it's not legal to discriminate against girls, women, in any extracurricular activity that's funded by the federal government. So this covers mostly schools, and schools have to offer the same programs availability to girls as they do to boys. What's the challenge lately? This has been fantastic for my generation. I'm 57. I benefited from Title IX directly. So my mom's generation didn't have access to sports. About all they could do was a little bit of PE and cheerleading if they wanted to travel with teams and support their school around their state. Now girls have strong access at college scholarships, and they get to participate in the benefits that come from sports, self-discipline, participation, how to play on a team. And now we have biological males coming into girls' sports and spaces because California and even the Biden administration decided to interpret Title IX on the basis of sex as gender identity rather than biological sex. So I'm very pleased that the Supreme Court upheld that Title IX, sex means biological sex. This is a landmark. It's huge. Now, our challenge here in California is that California seems to be playing opposite day in my mind, or bizarro world, is whatever is decided in the federal realm, even, it doesn't matter by whom, California is going to do the opposite. So they're already saying that they're not going to follow this, and our state and our CIF, which is our state governing body of sports, are saying nothing so far. So I believe this is good, even though it's a federal law. It won't immediately change California's situation, but we can use it as a precedent to bring this to our legislators, bring this to our school boards, bring this to CIF, and say, look, you are violating the original intent of Title IX, and the Supreme Court has upheld that. So they decided two things on that day. They also decided that states are allowed to make this decision based on the sex of a child. So the 27 states that protect girls and allow biological girls and women only in female sports can keep those laws. They are not unconstitutional. But then the challenge is the decision has been left up to the, you know, states. And the states, like California, will continue this. But we can use the decision, the confirmation from this ultimate, you know, legislative body. They're not legislative, in fact, they're judicial. They have said that, yes, a girl is a girl. And we appreciate that, and we can use it. There are existing lawsuits. One of them, Lucia Marr, is named in. And they will be brought to task on this. It can be used as a precedent to break down the constitutionality, the anti-constitutionality of these current laws.
And how do you respond to the argument that this is a very small amount of athletes that are identifying as, it's a very small amount of athletes that identify, and shouldn't they just let, that this is the other side, shouldn't they just protect them and what they want to do and allow them to play because it's such a small group?
Well, they have access to sports. So that's another challenge that I get besides what you have said. Yes, there's a small, at this time, a small number, but it's an ever-increasing number. This has been legal in California since 2013. So it honestly took nearly 10 years for it to become common. Now everyone has seen on the news that a few boys, a few biological males, are taking podium spots. A male won the top three track and field jumping categories in the state the last 2 years in a row. So that, yes, there's a few boys doing this, living this way, and taking girls' spaces. It's affecting thousands of girls.
And what you're saying is there may only be a few, but they're coming out on top on a regular basis.
Right. And even if they're not coming out on top, it's an invasion of women's sports and spaces. Males have biologically bigger, stronger bodies, much more extensive heart capacity and lung capacity, the way their hips and legs are shaped. They have a distinct advantage and will always be able to run faster, jump higher, and run farther. It doesn't mean that every male is good at every sport. But a biological male, even if he identifies as female, has a distinct advantage, an unfair advantage over females. And this is an invasion of girls' sports. It's a threat to women's rights.
And so where do you think this moves on? So right now we have the lawsuits, and then it will, if it goes to the Supreme Court, they already know how it's going to happen.
Exactly. So I will be using it. You know, when I advocate for girls, when I speak to CIF, I will point to this decision. And as an advocate, and the girls, when they speak, will do so. So now the lawsuits that are already pending, most of them were actually waiting on this decision. So they are going to be able to use this. Look, the Supreme Court knows what a biological female is. Why don't you, California? Why don't you, Lucia Marr Unified School District? Why don't you, Paso Robles Joint Union School District, Tascadero, any of the school districts in California who are allowing biological males in their sports and spaces? Actually, I'm not positive that Tascadero is. Their school board may have made a different decision, because the school boards actually do have the power to stop this. They claim that they don't. CIF, the sports governing body, just sits back and says, we have to follow state law. Well, you're specifically there to govern sports for our students, and we're appealing to you. and no progress have we made. So I believe this will help us.
And I've noticed in some cases where they'll have a biological boy, especially, and I've noticed there's a lot of winning in the track and field because you're by yourself. It's not a team sport.
Yeah.
And when they have them coming out on top, they sometimes give two awards, winner overall and biological woman award.
Yeah, that's a California Interscholastic Federation, which is CIF. That's a decision they made last year, which I find absurd because it's pretty much acknowledging that there's a difference. They decided that when they award a first place or a trophy to a biological male who is competing in the girls category, then they will move up the girl who actually won that category because she's the female, she fits the category, to stand on the podium with him. So how that very decision on their part seems to be them acknowledging, well, this isn't that fair to the girls, so let's try to make it fair to the girls by doing this. Now, track and field is very evident. You do compete on a team for multiple points, but the sports are especially jumping and such, are individual, and there are safety challenges and issues, and especially in sports like volleyball and basketball, these biological males have harmed young women at the college level and at the high school level, just because they can jump higher and they can hit harder, they can jump farther, they can run faster. It's just as simple as that. These biological males, in my view, have the freedom of speech, the freedom of identity to identify how they want. They just should not be in girls' sports, and that is due to fairness and due to safety.
And I think things are going to be different. I'm wanting to watch these cases. I've seen this happen with other issues. And when the Supreme Court comes out and makes a ruling, it changes a lot of local cases.
Yes, yes, it will. And so some of the cases that are pending, this will help them stand on that. And I know that when I've stood before Lucia Mar Unified School District, they've said, well, we have to follow state law. So the state law has been challenged. It's a bad law that assembly members voted for, including Dawn Addis. She supports allowing biological males in girls' sports and spaces and bathrooms and locker rooms. My view is they don't belong there because they're male. How they identify doesn't change the fact that they are male, and they need to participate in a sport that matches their biological reality.
Well, this had to be a great day for a number of people that were pushing this.
It was a great day. And I posted, I was very happy about it. I founded Save Girls Sports Central Coast. I've been advocating on this. Sonia Shaw is my friend. She's been advocating on this. Bill Asaley, Harmeet Dillon and Riley Gaines and Jessica Tapia. And there's so many people advocating for girls, and the girls themselves, the girls from our area, who are pleased with this. We just now need our school boards to follow the law, to follow the original intent of Title IX. So I have had people say, oh, but it doesn't change things here in California. Well, it will. It eventually will. Some school districts may actually just use this as the justification. You know what? We're going to follow the Supreme Court, because federal law does trump local law. It takes precedence when they challenge each other. And the state of California is just not acknowledging that.
And let's get back to the election a little bit. Will you remind the listeners, what are your primary reasons for running, and what are the primary things you want to do if you win?
Yes, I was inspired to run partly by this issue, because Dawn Addis wouldn't even meet with me to discuss the situation that the girls have been placed in by allowing biological males into their sports. And I also, as a business owner, I'm a real estate broker, 23 years licensed, practicing locally, and I have felt regulations come down and overburdening decisions made mostly by our state assembly, and then they get approved by our state senate, making it more and more expensive to operate a business, and then adding on to the regulations and fees and taxes that home buyers have to pay. It breaks my heart to shop for homes with young couples in the last several years. That's my favorite thing, is to help a couple, young couple, buy their first home. Every realtor loves that. It's the lowest commission, maybe, because it's an entry-level position property, but we're helping them enter what we call the housing ladder, build equity. Well, we have seen housing prices increase under Don Addis's terms, haven't we? They haven't gotten any better. So I believe that cost of living needs to be addressed, and the current assembly, including Don Addis, is working against business, against home ownership. She's not addressing the cost of living. They just keep adding fees, taxes, and regulations. I also feel strongly about protecting the environment, and some people might look and go, oh, but you're a Republican. Well, I love the environment. I'm a bodyboarder myself, a hiker, a horseback rider. I love the Central Coast. I enjoy it with my family. So I want to protect our coastline from battery storage facilities close to the coast in sensitive areas. I want to protect our coastline from offshore wind. And I believe that we need creative and traditional forms of energy. We need to support that industry. We need to keep PG&E operating. It's the major private employer in San Luis Obispo County. And yet, we do need to preserve our resources and our natural resources. Crime has gotten worse, and we're so lucky here on the Central Coast to have a safe, mostly safe places to live. But as we have challenges for law enforcement and challenges that they face in being supported by the current leaders of our state, then we're experiencing safer, you know, unsafe neighborhoods and increased drug use. So I believe that needs to be addressed, and I believe that law enforcement needs to be supported. So cost of living, parental rights. So this kind of gets into the Save Girls Sports that I advocate for too. I believe that we need the options for school choice. I support education. That's why I won't give up on public education. I was predominantly California public educated myself. My kids went all the way through Lucia Mar Unified School District's public schools here in San Luis Obispo County. And I love our public schools. I want to support them, but I don't see them being managed well. And I believe a lot of that is from the state level pressures and manipulation from the teachers unions, which are not advocating for our children any longer. I want to support parents' rights to homeschool, private school, charter school. I would even like to see vouchers. In fact, there's federal vouchers available, but California is not signing on to them. So I think there's a lot of situations and that families are dealing with that are not being heard by Don Addis and her fellow supermajority members of the state assembly. So I decided to challenge her because I love California. I love the Central Coast. And I believe that we could be represented better by someone like me with a business background who is pro-family.
And what are the what is ahead for the next couple months? What is your plan for your campaign right now?
Well, I'm planning to communicate with as many people as I can. I've really enjoyed that part of this business and this campaign. As a realtor, I'm uniquely well qualified, because as realtors, we have to promote ourselves. We're involved in sales. So now I'm pitching myself and my passion for California. So I'm coming to everything I'm invited to. And if you'd love to have me speak, or even if you're not sure you want to have me speak, I'm still willing to talk to you. I really want to reach disillusioned Democrats who are also feeling the pinch on operating a business here, feeling challenged as parents in their rights. And I would like to reach independents, libertarians, and I really would like to encourage people to turn out and show up. California is worth fighting for. I really appreciate that Spencer Pratt said LA is worth fighting for. Well, I want to adopt that for District 30. The Central Coast is worth fighting for. Please show up, vote, call me. Kessler4CA.com is my website. Follow me on Instagram, Shannon Kessler, and Facebook, Shannon Kessler. I'm very, very active on my social media. I let you know where I'm going, what I'm doing, and I take feedback. And you can reach me through my website, Kessler4CA.com, and I'm available. I want to meet people in the district, and my goal is to be their voice now, hear what they want. I'll be at the Mid-State Fair. I'll be at the Santa Cruz County Fair. I will be at upcoming events in September and October, local fundraisers and charitable events. I'm on the board of Resilient Ones, and you can find them at resilientones.org. That's an anti-human trafficking organization.
And we're going to take our top of the, not a top of the hour break. We're going to take a break and a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Shannon Kessler.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
The California Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles is proud to present 15-time ACM and CMA Group of the Year, Old Dominion. July 15th, the California Mid-State Fair presents Old Dominion with special guests Dasha and Annie Bosco. Tickets on sale now, midstatefair.com. One incredible night of country music you don't want to miss.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Late last week, I posted a story called Does Assemblywoman Dawn Addis's Bill Exempt Pedophiles? And I'm going to explain where that comes from. We'll be talking about this more in depth after the top of the hour, but I want to explain how this all came to be. So there was a, there used to be where felons could not run for office. There was, that law was changed. And felons can now run for office. But the current laws that were passed say anyone convicted of a felony involving bribery, embezzlement, public money, extortion, or perjury cannot run for the office. At the same time, you can be a rapist or a pedophile and run for office after you get out of prison. So in response to this, there was an assemblywoman, Esmeralda Soria, she's out of Fresno, and she put out AB 253. She wanted to ban people on the sex offender registry and not allow them to run for office. So what happened, though, it went in front, it was going through the committee. Her bill passed on May 7th, 60-0 to pass it. These people, do you want, there was a pedophile running for a school board somewhere, and there was someone else, a rapist running for a city council seat. And the idea is this is not okay. But then Senator Scott Wiener, who has a history himself with some history of talking to teenagers online inappropriately, he wanted to change it. He wanted to cut out and let change it to exempt some pedophiles, some felony sex crimes, including rape and sodomy, would now be allowed. And this was very objected to by the by the Soria, who said no. Sorry. Who said no. And from there, her bill got thrown out and voted down. During the same meeting on Tuesday, Don Addis's bill came up. Now, Don Addis had already agreed to the changes. She agreed to, her bill was AB 2961, and anyone charged, you know, convicted of sexual assault, and sexual assault includes some crimes against minors, like having like a, you know, a 30-year-old having sex with a 15-year-old is considered an assault. There's different, and the idea was, let's restrict this. Let's let a lot of pedophiles, that, for example, would be allowed, and then you can run for office. If a 24-year-old had sex with a 14-year-old, and, for example, let's say they're telling someone online they're a teenager, they meet up with them, they have some sexual contact, and they are 30 and the person is 15, they can still run for office later because it was consensual. And if they're under 14, they have to be 10 years different. So a 24-year-old having sex with a 14-year-old, they can run for office. It carved out a lot of the, it carved out a lot of things that are considered pedophilia. And so it would be allowing these people to run for office. And, you know, and I'll go over after the top of the hour the arguments by Don Addis. I have asked her to come on the show, and she did send me an email with a statement. She has not responded back yet whether she'll go on the show or not, but she did send me a statement. And she gave, you know, said, I did say these things, though, fall into that category. But then there are other people going, wait a minute, do we want adults to, you know, and again, you know, you can have a 30-year-old wanting to have sex with a, you know, meeting up and having sex with a 15-year-old, and while they can be criminally prosecuted, they would be exempted from this bill to not run for office. And there's a lot of anger in there is a lot of anger in Sacramento over this. Don Addis has a number of people very upset with her. And again, she's explaining her reason is she doesn't want this to be a 17-year-old slept with an 18-year-old and the 18-year-old got charged. And she doesn't want this to be a Romeo, Juliet, two people in love and they have sex. And that was what she was trying to protect. But I want to say, personally, I don't see, you know, I have heard parents who have actually complained to me, and they've called because their 16-year-old was, you know, sleeping with an 18-year-old, and law enforcement says, we're not going to go arrest them. So this does appear to be something that does not, how would you say?
Well, so this situation actually has happened in my family, and when our nephew got his girlfriend pregnant and she was 17 and he was 18, we would joke with him, like, don't piss her parents off, because if they charge you with a crime or she does, then you're in jail for at least a year. But usually it doesn't get charged. Usually, if that's the situation, it's a boyfriend, girlfriend. This is
law enforcement's not doing. They don't charge. Even if it's not a boyfriend, girlfriend, even if they had sex one time. Right. Law enforcement is not charging people. They're not charging 18-year-olds for having sex with 16-year-olds.
Very rarely. You know, they call it in the law enforcement, they call it a wobbler. Like it's so subjective that people don't usually press charges on it. So law enforcement doesn't necessarily pay attention. It's much, we need to protect children here. And as a realtor, I know that someone who's under 18 cannot even sign a contract. So how can they legally consent? Scott Wiener actually used the term, what about willing minors? There's no such thing as a willing minor. They are being influenced. They cannot make this decision.
We're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll be talking about these two bills going through the system. And we will have Greg Barr. He's the vice president of the California Family Council. And we will discuss this issue.
AM AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.